FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP episode, who knows? This is a pre-recorded episode. Going to have some a lot of these coming up over the summer, at least for the foreseeable future. I know of several episodes back, I mentioned on a pre-record that, since I'm the only one that's able to do the broadcasting, we're going to do some pre-records. That way it will work in some time that I can be able to take away from doing the broadcasts, but still get a good podcast out for everybody to listen to and watch each week. Well, you're not missing out on your TFYLP fix, because I know a lot of people depend on us each week, and we thank each and every one of you. It's because of you that we're still around. Tonight with me is Christian Russell.
Hello.
And Rick Alvarez.
You know, if you're doing a lot of things that society suggests are right, but you still feel like something is wrong, that's probably a sign that you're off purpose. So when you're living on purpose, you're entirely fulfilled because you're living a life engulfed in personal meaning. And that's why I collect toys.
I feel like I need to be sitting on a mat right now with my fingers like this, outspread with my my legs crossed and just going, yeah. Who said that, Gandhi?
I did just now.
Oh. Wow, that's pretty deep, man.
Yeah, I like it deep.
Like it deep? Deep and hard? See, we can't go 5 minutes without a sex or dick joke. Welcome to TFYLP. For your pleasure.
We haven't told them the topic yet we're doing this.
No, we haven't. Well, if you're watching the YouTube video, you already know what the topic is because it's right up there at the top of the screen.
You're right.
Cheaters. Cheaters.
You haven't told me what the topic is yet. I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
This might as well be TFYLP Mystery Box.
Interesting topic idea.
Didn't we kind of do that last time?
Yeah,
I think you guys did.
Yeah, but we didn't call it Mystery Box. It was Luck of the Draw. I thought that was a more appropriate name.
Yeah, that's more on theme. I like it.
Which actually, that kind of gives you an idea of when we recorded this. But, you know, it got a really, really good response. And so we're going to be doing those from time to time, maybe once every month or every other month, probably. Don't want to run it into the ground, but had a lot of fun doing that. I know we did. The listeners that watched in live, they had a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, that's something we'll have come back around. You know, it's kind of keeps you on your toes. You know, you don't know what's coming, and you got to think of something, and you're like, or think of something that you hadn't really considered. Whose voice actor would you, or who would you like to see come into Transformers as a voice actor? You know, Rick totally threw everybody off with his Christopher Walken for who is it, Alpha Trion?
Galvatron. Yeah,
that was.
I like that.
That was pretty epic. He did a pretty mean Christopher Walken too, and a lot of people was liking that.
Yeah, I'm pretty amazing, in everything I do.
Yeah, except in sex. You're pretty disappointing in that, aren't you?
Oh, you know, I'm according to your mom. So.
Oh, my mom has dementia, dude. Anyway, tonight we'll be talking about Transformers Animated. But before we get to that, there's something that I did pick up recently. So it's a little bit of an ouch my wallet. Probably by the time this became, or this actually is broadcast, it will be old hat. But at the same time, it's new to me right now, and I'd like to talk about it for a moment. This guy right here, a lot of people are looking for it. And this is the movie studio series Leader Blackout. And I would have to give this toy a solid B minus. It accomplishes a lot of things. It's good, but for the price, I've gotten better. And
it's
close. It's close. It is close. But you know, I'll get into to what I've gotten better for the price here in a moment. I like the looks of it. Here I have it in helicopter mode. He looks pretty nice. Although this kind of looks funny the way the tail is a little. It kind of goes flat right there. One of my biggest beefs about the vehicle mode is the underside, pretty much Hollow City there. Of course,
calling that an homage to the 07 toy.
Yeah, I mean, of course you got the Scorponok there. You know, the little place where the Scorponok comes out, and if I can pull him out. Yeah, it's really nice. It doesn't really transform, just the tail opens up, and, you know, you got your little thing there. But the only thing I don't like is that this right here, the pincher comes off, like, super easy. I've literally dropped this and spent 20 minutes looking for it. Because I didn't know where I dropped it, and luckily I found it. But yeah, it does not stay on all that well, and that's right straight out of the box. Couple other things that I don't like about it: some of the tolerances are like borderline horrible. I'll show that here in a moment. As soon as I get Scorponok back in his little cubby, well, let's see. Pincher came off. I'll screw that. I'll just put this back over here. But if I can hold it up to the camera here, these side panels that flip out here, I don't know if you can see it, which side is it? It's this side here. There's already a tiny stress mark right there. And that was after the very first time I transformed it. And it's because these tabs that hold it on there, in order to get to them, these things, these intakes here are kind of in the way. Even if you kind of rotate them out, it's kind of difficult to untab there. So you have to pull on it, and it stresses the plastic. It bends the plastic a little bit. It's got really, really cheap plastic. It doesn't feel very sturdy.
Light.
Very lightweight. The detail on this thing is rather nice. You know, it's got the good, you know, clear windows, but if you look close enough, you can see his robot head kind of peering out the windshield.
I see where he's going.
Yeah, yeah. another thing I don't like are the rotors. You got to be super careful with how they deploy. Because you know how they fold up on his back, well, they have to be spread out in a specific way. And if you don't remember how, you could easily tug on one a little too. I have not done this yet, but if you tug on it a little too hard, it will break off. Because I can already see stress on one of them because it was just not pulling the way it needed to. The way the pontoons here on the side, the way they clip in, is not exactly up to snuff, in my opinion. There's just a few other things that I don't really like about it. Mainly the hollowness and some of the tolerances and the cheapness feel of it. For $50, roughly, I mean, I got this at Target. And for, another thing too, this thing here will not stay together.
It doesn't line up.
No, it will not stay together. I don't, you know, that's as good as I could get it. And that's a little piece above the cockpit. I've heard of many people say, you just got to press down on the cockpit. And I've tried everything. I've tried, you know, flexing it a little bit. And it just, and everything I say just sounds dirty, I know. But it just won't stay together. And of course, some of these panels, they won't line up. It's another one of those transformers where, you get one panel lined up and tabbed in and the opposite side comes unpegged. That's kind of annoying. But all in all, it is a decent looking figure, both in robot mode and, in helicopter mode. It's a good passable, it's probably the best, well, it's not probably, it is the best representation of Blackout we've ever gotten.
And it's only 10 years too late.
Yeah, yeah. If we had gotten this toy back in the day, which I understand why we didn't, because of the lead time and everything, I understand. But if we'd gotten these toy a toy like this back in the day, whenever the movies were first out, I think a lot more people would have been warmed up to the movie lines, even if the movies had crappy storylines. Because if you had some really good toys like this, and despite my misgivings about this toy, I do consider it a really good toy. I don't regret it. But I think it would have, the movie lines would have probably did a little bit better, especially later on. But as I said earlier, for $50, you could either get this or you could get Zeta Toys, Whirlblade, which is their Vortex, roughly the same size or similar comparable size in helicopter mode. There is no underside hollowness on it at all. It is completely self-contained. It is a chunky robot, but so is Blackout. And his price point is roughly $55 to $60. So once again, Hasbro puts out a product that a third party puts out a better product for the same price.
It's a fair comparison.
Why is it not?
Well, one is supposed to represent one character. The other represents a completely different character.
However, they have the pretty much same alt mode. It's a Sea King, I believe is what this is.
Stallion.
Is it a Stallion?
Yeah, but when one transforms... Well,
Blackout's a paved low. Grindor's a Sea Stallion.
Yeah, but it's just not a fair comparison because, one, the aesthetic is so different on both of them.
Not entirely. I mean...
One is G1 animation. The other one is live-action movie.
But you look at their alt... What I'm comparing is, like, their alt modes. Their alt modes are very, very, very similar.
Right, so for only $5 more, can they put so much more plastic into Warblade than they do on Blackout?
That's the point that I'm trying to make.
But that's the wrong point of view because there's actually more parts on the Hasbro version than on the Zeta Toys version. The parts count is exponentially different, which means the tooling dollars are much higher on the Hasbro version than on the Zeta Toys version.
I'm not entirely sure that's true because the way the Zeta...
You're saying I'm wrong.
No, I'm talking about the Zeta Toys version because...
I have the Zeta Toys version.
There's a lot of panels on it.
Yeah, that's great. But you look at all the little pieces and little nooks and crannies, all the little nuances that go into the robot mode of that Blackout. There's a lot more tooling a lot more gates that are needed, a lot more metal that needs to be cut when compared to the Zeta Toys one. Just saying. You know, one might cost, you know, Zeta Toys might, that might cost $55,000 to tool. The Hasbro version, that Hasbro Blackout, that was north of 100 grand, easy.
Plus, they still have to pay licensing to Sikorsky.
And they got to give Michael Bay his cash and Spielberg his cash.
Yep.
Hasbro makes very little money off movie toys.
Hadn't really thought about it that way. So I suppose when you're at the end consumer level like we are, it's easy to try and say, you know, $50 versus $50.
Yeah. But maybe well, it's really, I mean, not that simple. If you're buying it based on the alt mode, personally,
Whirlblade
is your money. But that, in my opinion, as an end consumer, I have to say that. But if you're basing it on character, it's not a Blackout is not a bad buy. It has issues. I wish that, and again, you know, the quality is just not what it should be, in my opinion.
But you know, I'd still buy a Grindor or an Evac. Probably not Whirl.
You know, the thing is there a whole lot of difference between Blackout and Grindor as far as
in the real world, Grindor should be a lot bigger. Because Sea Stallions are bigger than Pavlos. But as far as, like, model goes, no.
They pretty much use the same model.
Yep.
Because I remember whenever I first saw him in the theater as Grindor, I thought Blackout died. And and then everybody's like, no, that's Grindor. And I'm like, oh, okay. And the difference is name.
I like his color scheme in the Revenge of the Fallen toy, though. That nice kind of gray with the yellow black highlights. I like it a lot. I'd buy it in the studio series.
Maybe we'll get one based on the same tooling or something. I don't know. But that being said, I still give Blackout a solid B-. It's not the greatest toy in the world, but I can see why he is getting a lot of hype. I don't like the platform feet, but that's forgivable given the transformation. He's really nice. He's really nice. He's got lots and lots of molded in detail. The head is like dead on.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, I mean he's a good toy. I'm surprised he's as hard to find around the country, because I mean literally I didn't look all that hard for him and I found him. But I understand distribution can be kind of a bitch sometimes. So. You know, one area can get him, and then an area 50 miles away can't. But as such. So, what do you guys got? Anything new recently?
Well, I got, you know, it's not an ouch my wallet, but I got this guy. This is the Evergreen Shockwave.
Oh.
And
is he worth it?
I would say for the $20 that he is at Walgreens. This is the perfect size Shockwave for your generation shelf. I love generations. And this is the perfect size Shockwave for that shelf. Now, the transformation is, the articulation is extremely lacking, but the visuals, the colors are all there. Highly recommend it. Just stand them up next to your Megatron. And then I got a, this didn't really hurt my wallet too bad. I got a
jump starter.
I got a sealed Topsman.
Yeah. What'd that set you back about $50?
It was a little bit north of that, but I think it goes well with this. So.
Oh, yeah. The original box art.
And I don't know, maybe. So you know.
Just so
throw it on the pile.
Somebody was saying that I was listening. I was talking to St. Galvatron about it here recently, but I also saw people talking about it on one of the Facebook groups, that the Evergreen Shockwave, the way the knee knee area is,
there's no knee.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's like a mushroom peg or something down there, that where a third party could do like a mushroom peg adapter kit to actually give him knees.
Yep. I'm waiting for someone to 3D print him on Shapeways for me.
Yeah.
You could, but then I'm worried he might be a little too tall. Like, his legs might be a little too long, but I think maybe if you replace the hip as well, but there is a pin in there, so. Yeah. Yeah, let me know how it turns out. Christian, I want to.
Yeah, I forget who I found that was doing it. Someone said they were working on it and would print up a couple sets for people if they wanted them.
Yeah,
I mean, if I find it, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Is that the biggest problem with that toy is the knees, the lack of knees?
Complete lack of articulation. But I mean, you know, if you're comparing it to the G1 Shockwave, he's
about got the same.
About the same articulation.
I don't know. The G1 Shockwave had some articulation for a G1 toy. It had knees. It had hips. I mean, it didn't have swivels a whole lot, but it had a lot of arm articulation. The head could turn. Was on a swivel. It had a shocking amount for a G1, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Compared to the other G1 figures, yeah.
It was not a broadside.
I was just really surprised that the Authentics or Evergreen Shockwave looks the part as much as he does. Like, if they were able to make something look like that much Shockwave, why haven't we got an actual Classics one by now? Kind of weird.
Because he turns into a blaster. That's why he has
is that
to turn
what it
into,
is now?
Yeah, that's why he has to turn into some weird, like, flying...
What does he turn into? Like a...
He turns into, like, a weird flying USB stick or something.
That's a good description. Yeah.
A flying USB stick.
Just kind of want to plug him into the side of your computer and, you know, put all your porn on him.
I've got one of those little... it's a knockoff... Ravage, the USB stick.
It's pronounced Ravage.
The Ravage, yes. and what I did is I stuck the entire first season of G1 on it. I thought that was pretty appropriate.
Nice.
I am guessing that I probably shouldn't have done that because I've heard a lot of people say that the knockoffs had viruses that was installed on the... On the USBs, but I haven't. I did it literally years ago, so I haven't had any ill effects since. So I'm assuming that.
I mean, we are trying to raise money for you to buy a new computer, but I'm sure the two are completely unrelated.
Well, that was like, I literally bought this thing like 5 or 6 years
ago. I've lost interest.
You never had interest, man.
If we're not talking about me, you're right. I kind of just zone out a little bit.
Eyes just roll back in the head. So, animated. Let's get on to our main topic of discussion tonight. Transformers Animated. I know it's a topic that we've touched on from time to time, but you know, we like to go back and look at different eras of Transformers and talk about them, because sometimes whenever we talk about them, we may either skim over a particular aspect of that series, or we may completely forget about something, and you know, covering it again gives us another opportunity to look at it from a fresh perspective, fresh ideas about it. I think it's been at least a year or two, maybe even three, since we've covered a good animated topic. I'm wanting to say it's at least a year, but even so, Transformers Animated was very, very popular, even though... originally, it met with mixed reviews. I know whenever I first saw it, I wasn't entirely sold on them because they looked very, I want to say kitty, but that sounds like a derogatory term.
Meow. Oh, did you say kitty or kitty?
Not kitty, kitty,
yeah.
As in play schoolish.
I zoned out again there. Continue. We're talking about G1.
But the TV show really sold me on the toys. I wound up collecting them. I had a good amount of the show the characters that actually appeared in the show. I didn't have them all, but I had a good amount of them. But I eventually wound up selling them all. Simply for the reason, in my opinion, they did not fit. They didn't look right on the shelf next to my other Transformers. They just,
they weren't supposed to.
I know, but as a collector, as an adult collector, even if I put them on another shelf, totally on another shelf without, you know, that doesn't have any other Transformer on them, I found that I did not like the fact that they just didn't look like they were supposed to be Transformers. Given the fact that they are very, very good representations of the animated characters, and they are good toys. I'm not knocking the toys at all when it comes to that. But what I'm saying is that I didn't care for how they looked on my shelf. Now, some people, I get that they don't have the same disposition about them, but I don't know. It was hard for me to stay warm on them after the glow of the show went off the air. I lost interest in them.
Do you miss them now that you don't have them, or have you gotten any back in the intervening years?
That is the one line I have not went back and picked up a single toy from, because I missed it. That being said, there are several molds that I did enjoy. I did. I actually enjoyed the Bumblebee mold.
I did too.
The Wreck-Gar mold I liked. The Jetfire and Jetstorm. Use the symmetrical docking like the Brave toys. I really dig that. That was actually one. What's that?
I worked on that one.
What, that one right there? What is that? Iron Fist?
This is Ratchet's mold, but this is Auto Trooper.
Oh, yeah, Auto Trooper.
That's from Bakon.
That was actually one that I didn't care for. But wow, I did like...
This has turned into one of my favorite molds.
I did like the Hot Rod. The Hot Rod was... If I were to go back and pick up an animated toy, it would be animated Hot Rod. Because I really, really liked it. It looked good. It had a fun little quick transformation. It was a good toy.
Hot Rod's a fun guy.
Well, let me ask you this. Once Beast Wars is over, does that glow go away and you get rid of your Beast Wars toys too?
Don't have any Beast Wars. Well, I've got one, but it's autographed to me, so it's a little hard to sell.
Once the movies are over, is the glow gone? I mean, is that the argument you're making?
No, but it is for animated. Simply for the fact that animated, I like the show. I enjoyed the show. And I have one season of it on DVD. I was not able to pick up the entire series on DVD. But it's one of those shows that I don't find myself itching to go back and watch. I don't know why.
I've recently, we have a TV in the car, and I play lots of movies and shows for the girls. And we've gone through, very recently, we went through all of Animated. And they loved it. And even though I can't watch the show while I'm driving, I'm listening to it. And what a perfect reinvention of the brand that was. And as I've been photographing stuff for my next project, you know, so there's this instant realization that there was no wasted opportunity with Animated. Every single toy that was made was a character from the show. Now, there were characters on the show that weren't made into toys, like the Constructicons.
Omega.
Omega Supreme. Cyclonus, Strika, Hotshot. The you know, some of the sneakers were, some weren't. But you know, excluding some repaints, and some of the repaints even made it onto the show. You know, in season 4, Ratchet was going to go into the Target exclusive green color. Shockwave, when he turned purple, that was an exclusive repaint. So you were going to have even some of those repaints, those tertiary repaints, are going to show up. There's never been a line like that, and for that alone, I appreciate it and value it so much more than some of the other lines we have, because it was so thought out. There was so much care and planning put into that toy line that there wasn't, like, you have the movie where you have 50 toys, 25 of them are Optimus and Bumblebee, 5 of them are the other characters, and then you got these no-named characters that are, it's a motorcycle, it's a bird, it's a whatever, that don't show up in the movie, don't show up in the comics. They're, hey, let's just call it Nightbeat just because. And we'll make him blue. And his head's yellow. It has nothing to do with Nightbeat and looks nothing like Nightbeat. And it's just a toy for the sake of there being a toy. And I always look at stuff like that as a wasted opportunity. A wasted opportunity. And there were no wasted opportunities in the animated toy line.
Didn't Derek J. Wyatt do like a whole book that had like a bunch of characters that he did designs for, but never actually appeared in the show, like animated versions of characters?
Fallspark Almanac kind of does that.
Yeah. So the Almanac kind of touches on that. There's a couple characters in there, and you know, there were some toys for animated which never came out, and some which only came out in Japan.
Blackout.
Yeah, Blackout, the Wingblade Optimus, the Hydra Dive Bumblebee. And then there was the Hotshot, never got released, never got tooled up. The Season 4 Megatron, never got tooled up.
What a cool name for it, Marauder Megatron. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and he had that, because he was in jail, he had that
the mask.
With the little Hannibal Lecter faceplate from Beast Machines over
his
head.
Yeah, it was great.
How incredibly... thought out everything was, and there were really no wasted opportunities, and there's only 2 third party animated figures so far. They came out years ago. It was the Pipes and Huffer, and they're great. They fit in perfectly. Now I completely wish that the Constructicons would come out Slipstream, but and Omega, of course, but I don't know if we'll ever get them, unfortunately. My heart yearns for those toys.
Do you think a third party will ever go back and start doing more animated toys?
Everything is masterpiece, man. Everything is masterpiece, unfortunately.
I don't know. And like, Fans Project is doing some, has been doing a lot of, like, War for Cybertron and...
Yeah, but everything. You know, if you look at them and it's, you got to squint. The Planet X stuff, okay, that's Generations, but the other War for Cybertron stuff that we've gotten, that's definitely masterpiece scale. And you look at the Mass Toys, that brand new Seeker they're doing, that new Optimus Prime. Everything's masterpiece scale now, and it's cool to have them in that scale with that articulation and those transformation abilities. But again, we're killing the market.
Do you think there ever could be a masterpiece animated?
Oh, absolutely. I think we'll get a masterpiece everything eventually. We have animated Optimus Primal, Cheetor, Dinobot. It's only a matter of time before we get a masterpiece Armada, a masterpiece. You know, who else were the other heavy hitters?
Superlink Convoy.
I'm trying to think about G1, you know, maybe Chrome Dome. cut Blur. I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, probably. It took us 20 years to go from G1 to MP01, and then 20 years to go from Optimus Primal to MP Primal, so maybe. We're only at 10 years for animated right now.
Yeah, that's scary. That is scary. I can remember BotCon 07. What was it, in Cincinnati? And
08 in Cincinnati.
Or was it 08? Yeah. And a lot of the stores in the Cincinnati area was flooded with animated toys. I remember
that was the test market.
Yeah, we drove up from the Lexington area, and we started hitting, I believe, around Florence, I think, is where we started stopping at stores. And yeah, you go in and there's like animated everywhere. You're like, holy crap. I remember picking up like Bumblebee, and I think it was Ratchet and maybe Starscream and Optimus Prime, the deluxe Optimus Prime. Like that first day.
Yep, you know, I got Prowl and Black Arachnia while I was there.
I got a lockdown. He broke 2 seconds out of the package.
That yeah, because fits. Of the hands. Yeah,
the risky right. thing. And then, like, I gave Archer the heads up. This was before I worked for Hasbro. I gave him the heads up. I'm like, hey, listen, man. At 10 o'clock tomorrow, everyone with a broken lockdown is coming to the Hasbro booth. So, you know, don't be there.
And was it accurate?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't want to have anything to do with it.
I didn't know if he ever said, hey, you remember that thing you told me about the animated lockdown? Which, you know, that was actually a really good toy. I enjoyed, too, Lockdown. And I tell you another one that I enjoyed the design of, Oil Slick. I love that head in a bubble. That just looked so cool.
Oil Slick is pretty neat.
So that Unrustable Bastards motorcycle, I sent that to my buddy Saul, and he's making it into Oil Slick.
That I've been very tempted to do get a white one just to paint up like Oil Slick, yeah. That would be pretty badass. Ideas.
There's an interesting thing about animated that just talking about it with you guys now has kind of made me think. Even though it got cut short, it was supposed to go on to another season, and there was supposed to be another wave or two of toys. It's kind of weird that we haven't gotten anything afterwards other than BotCon stuff, but I kind of think it's because animated feels complete. And all by itself, I think that goes with what Rick was saying about
it is a very compartmentalized.
No wasted opportunities. Yeah,
yeah.
It just feels like it finished. It's all together, and then it's gone.
Well, here is how people internally looked at animated, because you look at what came out alongside it, Revenge of the Fallen. So you have two very distinct aesthetics, two very distinct packaging types.
Plus, and they're on the second shelf. Universe launch too at the same time,
and they're on the shelf next to each other, right? So a kid is looking at kids play up their age. So a kid's looking at the Revenge of the Fallen stuff. They're looking at the animated stuff. I want to go with that because that animated stuff, that's for babies.
And that's
what the downfall of animated was, that it was for. It looked younger. Than yeah. it was.
That's what I meant whenever I said it looked kiddie. It just very play schoolish, if that's a descriptive term.
You have to look back past that, and you got to look at how well the toys are made, and how good that show was.
If you get past the look and buy one of the toys, if you buy one of the toys,
quick that it's not. Kitty.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is get one in hand and transform it once, and you're like, this is not a kitty toy. You know, it's not like a rescue bot. Does anybody know if animated did very well in Japan? I don't think that it did it?
I don't know, but they got 3 toys that we didn't, and we got 4 toys that they didn't. Our 4 toys were the Toys R Us exclusives, the RC Ironhide Ratchet from Cybertron, And who was the fourth guy?
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Was it the guy?
Hot Rod. Yeah. Oh, they got Hot Rod in Japan, though.
They did.
He was a different color. Character. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got that, and they did the black Hot Rod as well.
That was a good toy. I recently sold that one, but it was nice to have while I had it.
And then, of course, they got the Wing Blade, the Bumblebee, and the Blackout.
I had that Bumblebee, too. He was okay. Blackout was disappointing after how much he had been hyped up. He looked cool. He wasn't a very good toy, though.
What was bad about it? I've never actually had one in hand. I've seen it in box, but I've never actually transformed one.
Maybe it's because we had the movie Blackout first, but the animated one felt very simple. Even among other animated toys, it just felt not worth it. I mean, I didn't end up paying too much for it, but it was really simple, really easy, and then it was small, just like, you know, Lugnut or even the first movie, Blackout.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot smaller than it should have been.
Well, didn't he not come out over here because of, like, a licensing issue?
Well, the line had already come and gone, and I think we talked about this at one point.
I believe we did mentioned animated.
Yeah, that, you know, studio said it's too close to ours. It has to go. You have to pay us for it. So that was part of it, and then we... You know, some time had passed, and we had thought, well, let's just put it out with season 3. And with the Optimus and the Bumblebee, and it just never happened.
But it came, it saw light in Japan, but like I saw one at a BotCon. I'm wanting to say it's 2012. I saw one. But I never actually got to transform it. Now that was one of the molds I always wanted to try.
You know what? I have that one and the Optimus and Bumblebee, and I just haven't opened them. I've left them in their packages just because they look good in the boxes. But that Blackout, it's like a Lugnut. It's really, really small.
It's really small.
Lugnut was good. I like Lugnut.
He was a fine toy, but he's tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny toy
for such a big box.
And I've got the Wingblade Prime that worked out really well, and I had the Hydro Drive Bumblebee, and it was neat, and I really liked that you could transform them together without having to take them apart. But at the end of the day, it didn't feel like a Transformers toy. I don't know how else to describe it.
And that was an all new Bumblebee as well. That wasn't
that part was cool.
It was Bumblebee all new tool.
Yeah. But the jetpack didn't really feel like it fit in even among animated stuff.
Yeah. We never got a Sorry, which I really would have wanted.
We're sorry we didn't get Sorry.
Especially the teenage Sorry with the transforming scooter into the jetpack. There was a lot of potential there. There was a lot of potential there. So kind of inspired by animated. So the guy, what was his name in Transformers Prime? Silas?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Silas, I kept fighting this battle ever since the character came up, and I kept losing and losing. And I kept fighting this battle, man. And nobody understood why. Like Rick, let it go. Like, who cares? Nobody. Like, I kept saying his last name has to be Sumdack. Silas Sumdack. Just, you know, it's a completely different universe. I just thought it's going to be so fucking cool that his last name is Sumdack. And he's into this technology, and he's making this Nemesis Prime guy. And it's nobody bought into it. Just, I don't know.
Why? Why do people have to be negative Nancys and say no?
Look.
It's not going to hurt anything. Just throw it in there.
As soon as you say, well, that was from another show, whoever is the current producer or writer says, well, we don't want that because it's from another show.
Then don't mention it.
So this is why Bulkhead almost wasn't in the show. So it was originally Ironhide. Ironhide was in the show. And we were starting to design Ironhide, and some of the concepts for Ironhide were shown. Ken Christensen, he's shown his Ironhide. So Hasbro, senior management, like way beyond our levels, had decided, well, Ironhide's going to die in movie 3, so we can't put him in the show. It's going to confuse kids. But it's a completely different show. It has nothing to do with the movie. It's not a movie-based show. It's going to confuse kids because he dies in the movie. All right, so at the last second, we take out Ironhide and we say, hey, Bulkhead's a great character. Let's go with Bulkhead. So, you know, some time goes by. We design Bulkhead. We're getting to his final form. And then we get this communication from the studio. Is Bulkhead a character from a different show? He was introduced in a different show, but he is a Transformers character, and that's what you need to understand. Well, we don't want to use Bulkhead because he's from another show. That's not how it works. He is a Transformers character. And really, bottom line, because we were so far behind, they had to keep Bulkhead.
So Prime was not really a continuation of Animated. I remember at one point there was kind of like an argument that it was like a...
No. It had nothing to do with Animated. It was a completely different show.
That logic is so weird to me. Optimus Prime was introduced in a different show.
Yeah, but he is the brand. And Bumblebee is the brand. Right?
Ratchet, Star, all of them were introduced in other shows. That's so weird.
That Bumblebee from Transformers Prime is very clearly based on the movie Bumblebee.
He's from the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's from another show. Remember
who the initial executive producers were. It was Ortsman and Kurtzy.
Yeah.
So they had to have their Bumblebee in the film, in the show.
I was about to say, did they even bring any original characters? But yes, they did. My favorite character, Knockout.
Knockout worked out great, and we were very adamant with them that Knockout is a great character. He can't die in the end. He has to live because he has to be in the next show. He has to continue on to the next show. He can't die. So we were very adamant about that. Arachnia, we wanted to call her Black Arachnia, and they're like, no, it's why would you call it Black Arachnia? That's
Arachnia.
I've told
the whole story about, you know, that toy, but whatever. That's Transformers Prime. You know, it was just off topic.
We're talking Animated.
let's move back to Animated.
We were talking just, you know, Bulkhead was the subject of conversation. So.
Well, I know because of Bulkhead back in the day. I know more information has came out since then, but I do remember some discussions back in the day that because of Bulkhead, that there was some kind of animated connection because those two characters were so closely, they look so close to one another, that it's like, well, is this the continuation of Animated? So there was an argument at one time.
Well, then you look at RC and you look at everybody else and you're like, no, obviously not.
It wasn't so obvious at one time.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, I am quite awful.
Remember what was happening at that time too. The Hub was starting, and Animated was a show that was co-produced with Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Therefore, nothing from that cartoon show or universe could carry forward into a sequel-like show. It just couldn't. It's just the rights, you couldn't do it. So that show had to end so that a new show with a new continuity could begin. But keep in mind, it's the characters are part of the brand, not a part of the show.
We should do a future episode about Prime and the Hub and that time.
And we should talk about Battleship too.
Yeah, you know, Prime, it started out so well. The first season had me like riveted, and then the second season started losing me. And then the third, whenever the Beast Hunters came out, it totally jumped the shark on me. I had lost complete interest in the line.
I've been to Rick's talk on this, and I know he's got a bunch to say about it.
Yeah.
And I know we are supposed to be talking about Animated, but, you know, it's kind of one of those jumping points that, you know, Transformers Prime, I have a love hate. I know Rick does, but I have a love hate relationship with Prime.
Here's the thing: you look at Transformers Prime, and you look at Beast Wars and Animated, and you can tell that clearly one does not fit with the others, because Beast Wars and Animated were made with unison and love. Transformers Prime was a product.
Yeah.
Beast Wars was a work of love. Animated was a work of people who were fanboys and put in charge. Prime was a product.
Let's design Prime a character like, and throw it out there.
Prime was, we need Welker. We need Cullen. Check. We need big name producers. Orson Curse Me. Check. We need someone to do the music. Whoever the guy was from Star Trek.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Brian Tyler, who leaked all the music. As soon as, you know, we were about to put out the soundtrack, he leaked the music. There goes the soundtrack. Thanks, Brian.
And I got the theme song, check. Too.
Yeah. Hey, check. You know, all these things that accrue, you know, a large amount of money before you even get into the budget of the show. You know, it was a product designed to be on the hub, to be the flagship show of the hub. And you know what? G.I. Joe Renegades and that My Little Pony show were way better than Transformers Prime. But Transformers is the big boy brand because of the films.
Now, how much, going back to Animated, how much of a... What did being on Cartoon Network do for Animated? Was it any kind of significant impact on the brand?
Distribution. It's distribution, you know, who can see it and where. But as soon as the hub was announced, and I think as soon as the network found out that Hasbro was pulling the show, saying, all right, it's going to end at season 3, they moved it to like Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and then weekdays at like 6:30.
Yeah, it was some morning. Crazy early time.
Yeah, they're like, well, F you, Hasbro. We're contractually obligated to put the show on, and we will, but we'll do it on our schedule.
But initially, that relationship was actually a good one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, Eric
for a long time too, they had the Unicron trilogy stuff there too.
Yeah, but that wasn't necessarily produced. That wasn't produced by Cartoon Network.
Well,
a distribution thing.
Yeah.
That was distribution. So it was just, there's a different attitude at Cartoon Network. There's a lot of open doors there and a lot of people who get it. And that's why you have some crazy ass shows like Gumball and, you know, Steven Universe and Rick and Morty, Robot Chicken. Lots of open doors, lots of creativity flowing in the place where Transformers Prime was a product. It was created as a product.
That's sad.
I'm sorry. I just received a work-related text. I was reading it. but the... Now, Cartoon Network, whenever it first started airing Animated, it was really hot. Everybody was tuning in every time the show was on. It was the talk of the town. I remember there was, like I said, there was some backlash at the beginning. What are these toys? Oh my God, they look so childish.
Well, toys were the show, because the show came out a year before the toys did.
Yeah.
But we didn't get toys until season 2.
What was the deal with that? Was it just a problem with the...
That was Prime. I know there was a delay,
It was also Prime, yeah. So
Prime was way longer. I thought we had Animated Prime in like January, February, and then Toys by BotCon, which was April.
I think it was longer than that. I may be wrong, but I think it was longer. I think the BotCon stuff hit, and then it was like a few more months before it hit everything.
Because there was an envy factor of all the people that picked up animated toys from around the area.
So the problem with animated, which was the same problem that Transformers Prime ran into, was the movies. And it was just, we need to get as much movie product out there as possible. We're selling movie products. It's gangbusters. Everything's got to be movie. Movie, movie, movie. So animated got pushed back because so much movie one product was still on the shelves. And then you hit Revenge of the Fallen, and that's when animated started showing up. And then with Prime, it was Dark of the Moon. It's like, we need to get as much Dark of the Moon product out there as possible. So we're going to take Transformers Prime, and we're going to delay it by a year. And so, you know, another side note, when you have a show that has a budget and you're counting on the royalties from the toys in order to pay for that show, and then you say, hey, I'm going to not sell those toys for a year, you still have to pay for that show, even though you're not accruing any royalties from the toys, which is a real...
Isn't that the reason behind the first editions?
It's a huge reason why the hub tanked. Same thing with My Little Pony. The My Little Pony toy team wanted nothing to do with the My Little Pony show. And there were no My Little Pony toys for that show until like a year and a half after the show came out. Because it wasn't until the show was like hugely successful that the toy team went, oh shit, we fucked up. We should listen to what they're doing over there. So, and then, you know, then there was Battleship and that huge $250 million bath that Hasbro took. And so Battleship sank my career, along with the career of 1,200 other people.
Sank your Battleship.
You know what? I kind of like the Battleship movie.
I have to admit, I did too. I did not hate it.
I didn't hate it. It incorporated some of the things from the game in it. You know, the missiles.
I didn't care anything about a connection to the game. I just thought it was a cool sci-fi flick.
I hated the whole aliens. I hated the whole Halo looking alien guys. That they looked like just Decepticons were invading.
It did feel very much like Transformers in a different universe.
Yeah, even the trailer was like the lens flare, kind of very Transformers inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Liam Neeson, man. The whole movie, he's like, the hell did I get myself into? Why am I in this movie?
No, Rihanna was cool in it.
Oh, yeah. She's had quite a successful movie career since then.
Wow. Hey, she's in Ocean's 8 next month.
Yeah, you know, what's that? You know, like 7 years after Battleship?
Trying to recover a career.
All right, so I got some info about the rollout schedule of animated. We got the feature length, the 3-episode debut on December 26, 2007 on Cartoon Network.
That's right.
And then we had Christmas, BotCon stuff in April, and then by August, September, they started hitting stores in force.
So yeah,
about 8 months.
So there was about 4 or 5 months there that I do distinctly remember people on message boards and everything. It's like, well, it must be nice to have an animated toy in hand. And we're like, yeah, actually it is. Because, you know, everybody that went to BotCon that year pretty much either got one at BotCon or went to a surrounding area store and bought some. Mm-hmm. And there were people buying them up and actually scalping them online. You know, to people willing to pay two or three prices for something that they could get at their local retailer if they just waited a few more months. It was crazy.
Animated came at a really interesting time for me. I remember it so clearly because that was the first summer I could drive by myself. That's when I got my full-fledged license, was the summer of 2008.
Did I just get a gray hair in my
you
beard?
Did. Remember, that's why you keep me on this show.
Yeah.
Damn.
So
I was already 30 years old at that point.
I know.
I was already pushing 40.
Up, like, Walmart exclusive Fracture and Big Daddy from the movie, but I was also picking up the first couple waves of animated, and the first couple waves of Universe 2 with Sunstreaker and Prowl and those guys. But animated seemed to be king for about, I don't know, August to July, June of 2009. So 10 months. And that was really cool. It seemed that the show was going really well. The toys were readily found in stores, if I remember correctly. At least that was my experience. It was a really cool time. Just that very brief, less than a year window, but Animated was king for a
just
little bit.
The thing about Animated that really endeared it to me while it was on was all the, like Rick said, all the little lessons of, or little nods of love through just sprinkled throughout. And even internal nods, like Angry Archer. You know, it's like...
Or like, you know, the KO Burger or the... oh, no, that was Prime. That was Prime. It was Burger... Was it Burger Bot?
Burger Bot, yeah.
Burger Bot, but then, like, you know, Sludge was the oil... Was the mascot for the oil
company. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a take on, like, the Sinclair oil. Yeah, that's what it was.
And then there was, you know, you had Spike and Carly in it, and their baby daughter. I forget what her name was.
Daniela. It would have been funny if it was Daniela.
It's in the almanac, her name.
I'll find it.
Yeah. But I mean, it was such a great show, and you had great human characters in that show. You had the headmaster, you had her dad Isaac. Was it Isaac? Some dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the dog had, name was Sparkplug.
Yeah, you had
the Fanzone. Fanzone.
You had the guy. Look at all those great human villains they had. You didn't need to have a bad guy transformer in that show. I think they did a whole episode where the human villains just team up. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the Time Girl, you had the Speedster,
and the what's her name, Professor Princess something.
Yeah, yeah,
Sparkle or something like
that. With the unicorn that
wasn't flies. It Princess Sparkle. Yeah. Well, think.
Oh, look, the Witwicky daughter's name is Nancy, by the way.
Nancy. Yeah.
I wonder what was that? What was that a nod to? Had to been a nod to something other.
You know, and you had all these great human characters on the show. And then you have, like, guys like when they go to Cybertron, hey, there's Rat Trap, there's Trax, there's Grandus. You know, all
Grandus.
All wonderful.
That was wonderful that characters. One was out of left field.
Well, the bases, you had Metroplex and Fort Max, they were different government buildings.
Yeah.
And so the character was Professor Princess, and she rode essentially a My Little Pony called Powdered Sugar.
That show was so over the top. I think one of my favorite scenes was the scene where Optimus Prime was asking, like, basically, how do humans procreate? And Sari kind of beckoned him down, and she whispered in his ear, and the look on his face was like, you know, it just... It's like, I can't believe they inserted that in there, but it's there.
My favorite scene was, you know, with the Constructicon, he's got Snarl as his pet, right? And but it's Slag,
yeah,
right. So, but they call him Snarl. So, you know, Snarl runs up to him. He's like, "This is my pet Dinobot, Snarl. You named him Snarl. I was gonna call him Slag, but he took offense to it."
Yep, that was scrap. I remember that.
Yeah,
one of the greatest moments.
It was one of the few times that Transformers
Weird Al being Redgar, yeah. Incredible.
Weird Al is Redgar,
and he dares to be stupid.
He dared to be stupid. And then when Weird Al went to BotCon, he did his Weird Al impression of every Transformer on the show, but he kept doing it in the Redgar voice. He's like, "I'm Optimus Prime." He did like all the care, but it's like still Redgar's voice.
Yeah. You know, just talking about it makes me want to go back and watch it. You know,
me too. I think I'm going to.
I don't have season one though. I've got like season three.
Oh, well, I'll send you mine when I send you the RID stuff too.
And it has such a beautiful ending. It gets wrapped up so well.
It does.
You know, the Allspark fragments, they pick them all up, and where do they put them? They put him in this little thing. And what does this little necklace look like? It's the Matrix. Ship. Yes. And it's hanging around the neck of Optimus Prime. Right? Mm-hmm. And then I think Derek explained that at the end, all the R-Spark crystals are getting sucked in, right? And it gets sucked out of Starscream's head, and he turns, you know, gray, and he falls dead. So there was a question at a BotCon. Well, what about, you know, Scrapper and the Dinobots and everyone? He's like, well, they were far enough away that they didn't die. Their R-Spark crystals couldn't get sucked out of their heads.
Yeah, I think Slipstream and the gang survived, too. Same reason. Yeah.
But, you know, that show gave us Bulkhead. It gave us Lugnut. It gave us Lockdown. And Lockdown moved on to become a movie villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I so wanted Lance Henriksen to be into it. I was at a San Diego Comic Con one year, and I got to speak to Lance Henriksen. I'm like, yeah, we're you know, I'm going to tell you something secret. We're going to put Lockdown in the next movie. He's going to be the bad guy. He's like, yeah, you know, I definitely would want to do that. I would definitely want to be, you know, that character. I had a great time as that character. So it just, for whatever reason.
Who wound up doing him in the live action movie? It was
the guy who does the Bumblebee.
Oh.
He does all the voices on set for the actors, and he does Bumblebee, and he ended up doing Jetfire, and he did Lockdown.
I think his name is Mark something.
Mark, who gives a fuck? I think that's how you say it.
Hopefully he does not watch this video.
Mark Ryan. If you want to be on the show, Mark Ryan, please come talk to us. We'll talk to you.
Please. Yeah. Hey, man. You. Whatever. I don't care.
But can we
say what I want?
Can we talk about Bluster and Trench for a minute?
Sure.
All right, so before this episode came on, or before we started recording tonight, I talked to our good friend Sid Beckett, who had a big, big part of making these toys a reality. And he told me some secret information to share with you guys about it. So the first is that they went with Pipes and Huffer first because they had the Bumblebee kind of mold ready to go, but they didn't want to cheap out and release a whole bunch of repaints before they did something kind of unique. So they wanted to start on something interesting and not just, oh, look, it's Bumblebee and Wasp and Cliffjumper and Carrera and Bugbite and, you know, literally everybody. They would have gotten up to all of them. There's a lot of love in that project. Afterwards, they were going to do all the Bumblebee stuff, and then they were going to make animated Red Alert. And it was going to be a bigger figure, probably kind of deluxe or maybe even a little bit bigger sized. And that was going to be really cool. And after that, they were going to do Mixmaster and Scrapper. And if those went well, they were going to look into doing Omega.
Now, I've actually got a image of animated Red Alert up on the screen. So if you're watching the YouTube video, that's what it would have looked like.
One of my favorite things about, you know, the little details, look at her arm. She has the Armada Red Alert weapon on her arm. It's that little detail like that which makes it so cool.
Yep, and the mech idea is one that they designed could have the interchangeable attachments too.
Well,
it never got to hard copy stage or anything, but you know, the CAD planning phase, they definitely had planned for that. What he told me is that they're very proud that they got them out. They are sad that they didn't catch fire as much as they thought they would, but they're proud that they're in a lot of people's collections today. I think part of the reason, though, they didn't catch on is what we were talking about earlier, how animated, once it was finished, kind of felt like it was...
Nobody really was clamoring for it.
Yeah.
Right. I think if they'd done it maybe later or earlier, it could have done something more.
Especially for characters that weren't on the show, right? Did they ever even appear in the background?
They did. They did? In one of the Cybertron scenes, yeah.
You know, and I kind of wonder if that has anything to do with why I feel the way I do about going back and getting animated. It's like, I don't really feel compelled to. And the thing is I list that the show doesn't still have the fire with me as it once did. But in retrospect, and in full disclosure, I recently went back, and as much as I love G1, I grew up on G1. It's my favorite era. I love the G1 characters. I went back and started to marathon the G1 episodes. I stopped after about five episodes. I can't watch it anymore. I've watched it so many times, it's like, I know what's going to go on.
They're very dated. Story-wise, they're very dated as well. You know, it's hard to watch some of those Thundercats and He-Man episodes. It's just a different style of storytelling that
it's not so much that
we've outgrown.
It's not
my kids love them.
It's not so much that for me with the G1. I think it's the fact that I have literally seen every episode so many damn times, and I have devoted so much of my life to this franchise. I really don't need to see them again. You know, if I want to see the characters, I could probably watch like a one-off episode every now and then. You know, like, you know, Grimlock's New Brain is like one of my favorite episodes of all time, because that's where the Technobots and the Terracons were introduced. And the way they introduce the Technobots, they're like a birthing of Grimlock. You know, it's like, who would have ever thought that one of the smartest Transformers would have come from Grimlock? I just love that story. But I don't feel compelled to go back and watch the series as a whole as much anymore. I don't remember the last time. It's been so long that I sat and watched the series as a whole. But you can literally sit, I can literally sit and talk about the entire series because I know it so well. And I think that's why I can't watch G1 in its entirety anymore. But animated, it's different. With animated, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel, you know, like talking about it tonight, I could probably go back and watch an episode or two that I have on DVD and satiate my desire for animated. But sitting and marathoning it, I don't think I could anymore. And I wonder how many other people have that feeling.
See, I find that animated and Beast Wars are the easiest ones to just sit and just plow right through every episode. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people sit there and say, well, Daron hates Transformers, or, you know, is starting to hate Transformers. It's not. And I'm not saying that the shows are bad. I'm not saying that they're disinteresting. I just don't have the fire to go back and watch the shows over and over again. And I don't know why. I really don't know why I don't have that fire. Maybe I am just getting old, and... You know, the toys are, it's getting to the point now where the toys are about the only thing that I really feel compelled to go after anymore. Although I would like to own like RID in its entirety on DVD, simply,
I got you.
Yeah. Simply because it's got, it's a part of Transformers lore. And I've got all of G1, all of Beast Wars, all of Beast Machines. And I think I've got the biggest part of Armada. I know I have Energon on DVD. It just,
you know,
seems naked not to have it.
Just a brief aside about RID. Recently, as of the recording of this, probably farther in the past by the time you guys hear it, Hasbro's just
Saban.
Bought Saban. Yeah, Saban, Saban. I'm
Saban
sorry.
Entertainment, yeah.
But that's who aired RID, so we might be getting it finally, officially.
I'm kind of wondering. I'm kind of wondering if now that they own everything that was under the Saban banner, or Saban Entertainment anyway, if they do have that intention of going back and getting the RID rights.
Maybe. I thought there was one more piece that maybe Disney had to do with it. I'm not entirely sure where I'm getting that from, but maybe.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought Saban was also purchased by Disney at one point, but
don't know.
I guess not. Maybe part of their library was. I don't know.
That might be. I do have a couple more anime things I want to show you.
Okay.
First is that animated and third party may not be dead. you guys might not remember, but there's a company called A Plus Toys. They're working on animated Dirt Boss.
Yeah, but they've been working on that for like for a while.
Yeah. But maybe. They say it's not dead. We'll see. But the other thing I wanted to show you was this prototype animated Minasaur head.
Oh.
So Azeem Vangsta from Renderform did some work with a company to try and get an upgrade kit.
Wasn't that designed for the set? Yeah, that was designed by Mark Wong.
Yeah, probably designed by Mark Wong. And then physically made by Renderform. I picked one of these up a couple years ago when he offered them. But it's a nice little relic of what could have been the animated Minasaur.
I would have given anything if there had been some kind of upgrade set to make that.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
While we were doing the BotCon set, but just no money to do it.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of extra parts. It definitely would have been a third-party venture, and unfortunately...
I was really shocked a third party didn't jump on it. But at the same time, it is a limited set, and there's
and
only...
It was animated 3 years after, and... Right. And...
But yeah. It's combiner, so, you know.
But then again, you know, those molds were not unique to that BotCon set. And, you know, if they could have easily put out a combiner upgrade set that you could use with the standard toys. Would it have looked exactly like Minasaur? No, only if you'd had the BotCon set. But
yep, I don't think combiner craziness had quite started just yet.
Aside from the BotCon 16 set... in my opinion, the BotCon 2010 set with the animated Minasaur, was it 11?
Yep.
God. No, 2010 was the G2 set.
2010 yeah.
was G2. Okay. I think the animated set was probably one of the most cohesive sets in my opinion. Because as a set, they were naturally to go together. Now, that doesn't say that some of the other sets didn't work and everything. I just think as far as a cohesive unit as a set, it made sense to me.
Animated set started off so different, too. I mean, we were throwing around so many ideas. We were throwing around so many ideas. One point we had Bulkhead, a Striker. We had the Voyager Megatron as Sky Gary. I think we had Hot Rod as Sideswipe.
That wound up being Breakdown though, didn't it?
Yeah. What happened was, I think it was Brian Savage who said, none of these ideas feel like they belong together. Like, none of these characters feel like they belong together in a set. And I think he was the one who says, we need, like, one of these teams. We need a team. Like, you know, we got a bunch of cars. Like, what's this team here? Because he doesn't know the names.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Cinecons. So it was him who said we needed a team, and Cinecons were born from that. I distinctly remember we even did the Photoshop of that Megatron as a Sky Gary.
Whose idea was it to make Dragstrip a drag queen, basically?
I think that was Trent Troop and Greg Sepulak. And then I said we got to do Toxitron. And then Aaron said, it can be Toxitron, but it's got to be Optimus Prime. Like, what? You have to have Optimus Prime in the set. He's got to be... So that's why in the comic book, it's revealed that it's actually Optimus Prime in disguise.
So technically, it's Optimus Prime, but it's everybody else is talking to Toxitron.
Yeah. Technically, it's Optimus Prime, yeah. So that was the workaround.
Toxitron Optimus Prime.
Man, it's been so long. I'm just trying to think about like who else we were.
I think at one point you guys were trying to make Blackout into Bugly or something like that, but that might have been later than the actual set.
Yeah, I don't think that was with the actual set. No, right, because Hasbro said that Bakkan couldn't use the three unreleased molds. Hasbro needs to put them out first.
So that kind of killed that.
Yeah, that's why those three figures couldn't be weren't in that set. Otherwise, they would have been.
Yeah, Blur's Cheetor.
Yeah, I thought that
worked pretty well.
That one I kind of thought was a misstep. But did that have the spots or were they like the hexagon shapes?
They were spots. I think it was supposed to be hexagons, but it came out as spots.
Yeah, that's what killed it for me on that one.
Was the hexagon more of a Transtech homage, or
he wasn't a beast, he was a car. So it was like, why would he have spots, right? So like, let's
the hexagons would look more car. Okay.
Yeah, would have felt, you know, more Tron like.
If I remember correctly, they had a sort of fade on them, which it wasn't just spots, but it was not hexagons.
You know what would be a neat idea is take some of the animated designs, but give them more of a modern toy or a mainline toy aesthetic. Like, for example, we got Lockdown in animated, and then there was a Lockdown in, what was it, Generations?
Revenge of the Fallen.
Generations got Axor, wasn't it? Or was it?
Not really. It was the other one. Reveal the Shield.
Yeah. Or Reveal the Shield.
Okay. Or whatever was Yellow Card at the time.
Yeah.
Reveal the Shield, Hunt for the Decepticons.
Yeah.
Hunt for the Decepticons.
So that's what I mean. I mean, it's originally an animated design, but brought over into the mainline aesthetic.
There's Lugnut from the, you know, from the Generations line.
I hated that toy. I know everyone like raves.
Really?
I hate that thing. Yeah.
Why?
I hate it so much. The arms, I hate how they spin and flop and ugh, I just can't. The spring-loaded hand, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I didn't hate that toy.
I know I'm the only one who does, but man, I hate that toy.
You know, going along that route, Aaron had pitched something for the 30th anniversary, which never got out of the pitch stage because nobody understood it. And he didn't tell me he was working on it. He just showed like the art, and I was like, blown away by it. Take the more recent characters and do them in G1 style. So the concept art was Bulkhead, but he had the G1 Trailbreaker transformation.
I could get on board with that.
Right? Lockdown.
So basically blocky toys.
Yeah, G1 versions of newer characters.
Yeah, like if you put
Rescue Bus. Oh my god, that would be an awesome subline.
I think Lockdown was Sideswipe. I forget who else was in there. There was a couple guys in there. I think he had four or five done.
Now, would this be new tooling, or would it be just remolds of...
Either new tooling or, you know, remolding certain pieces on existing on the Encore stuff. So the one I clearly remember the most because it looked the most badass was that Bulkhead out of that G1 Trailbreaker. It was just
I would buy every one of those if they were to actually see the light of day.
They never got out of you know, just concept drawings. He pitched it and nobody got it. Everybody went, no, what? No, we don't live in the past.
But, you know, the current regime might be totally all over that, though.
Yeah, but you know what? The current regime doesn't have those drawings, so.
Well, you know, somebody needs to just show up on the door and say, hey.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, huh?
They can do whatever they want. You know what? And they're doing a pretty good job right now. So let them do what they want. They're doing a good choice as far as character selection goes.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm kind of thinking with the popularity of Encore as it was in Japan. I'm sure that it would still do fairly well, just based on the longevity of the Encore line over there. If those toys were to ever be produced, I would think they would be internationally well received. I would think.
Is that recently pseudo-revealed G1 Hot Rod reissue? Maybe a soft relaunch of Encore over here?
I'm kind of hoping, but I'm, you know, that's one of those grain of salt things, because it came out of left field, totally unannounced, and why are they doing this? I'm not complaining, but why are they doing this? It just,
and it's the G1 box though, rather than
it's a G1 2000 box or it's a modern interpretation of the G1 box. It's like they took the innards of a G1 or the innards of a modern box with the plastic and the rattan ties, and then put it in a G1 style box. I'll eat it up. I already have a G1 hot rod right here, and I'll buy another one even at $35. I don't know how many I would buy at $35. I would probably buy one just to keep sealed if it's in a retro style box like that, because that would be awesome. What other animated characters, though? I mean, going back to my question, what other animated characters would look good in a more mainline aesthetic now?
Slipstream, she did it already, though, but she did get another toy.
Right? She got, you know, she got two toys, didn't she?
She got two toys, yeah, you're right.
You know, Lugnut, Lockdown was in the movie. He had a great third-party toy come out.
I'm surprised Oil Slick hasn't gotten more love now.
He was in one scene
and had two lines.
That version of Prowl can make a comeback, though.
You know, Brawn from Animated was really cool, and Stryka and Cyclonus and Hotshot.
Oh, Sentinel Prime. So different from, you know, like the Dark of the Moon Sentinel Prime that came later.
Sentinel Prime, really cool. And, you know, one of the things
the Tick Prime.
We've carried forward is that Magnus Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Forge of Solus, or what? Is that what it is?
Forge of Solus Prime, yeah.
Was that later?
We saw the hammer in Animated, but didn't it get named the Forge of Solus Prime or something in Prime?
In Prime,
yeah.
But Magnus using a hammer came from.
Yeah, Animated. Like that's a signature weapon for Magnus now, is a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go back and do it backwards. Toys or characters that we would love to see in Animated. And I haven't been privy, or I haven't seen
these are characters that didn't appear in the show.
Yeah,
that we would have liked to.
That we would like. What about like Double Cross? Was there ever a design of Double Cross? Like any of the monster bots?
You gonna make me look.
I think there was a Repugnus, but I think it was like a very cartoony.
Yeah, I think it was like part of the drink menu at Bacon or something like that.
Yeah,
a menu in the book. Although you said double, it made me think of Punch Counter Punch. I think that would have been a cool concept to have an animated.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Autobots are so underpowered, the Decepticons are like really big villains.
That's
one who can play both. I mean, I guess we had Shockwave. Never mind.
You know, in season four, they were going to do a Shattered Glass episode.
Ooh.
Yes, that'd be cool.
They were going to do a Shattered Glass episode, and then we're going to get Devastator, where Bulkhead was going to be the center. He was going to be the torso. And the other two guys were going to be the arms. Who's the dirt boss?
Dirt boss is the head. Yep.
The head, and I think someone new would have been the pants.
The pants.
Yeah, there was going to be a fourth guy. A fourth guy, and they needed a fifth one, so they got Bulkhead. They forced him against his will.
And it would have been cool if they would have called him Devastator, but maybe an R.I.D. Build King or Landfill Colors. Crickets chirping.
Yeah, you lost us on that.
There's four characters.
There's five. There's four Constructicons, and they get Bulkhead to be the fifth guy.
Oh, well, you said a fourth guy a minute ago. I'm just
there would have been a fourth Constructicon.
Okay.
Yeah, Dirt Boss, Mixmaster, Scrapper, and Pants Dude plus Bulkhead makes Devastator.
Pants Dude.
Yeah, probably Erector or something.
Animated Erector was a thing. Man, that was a weird time.
Oh gosh, just animated is one of those fun things to talk about and fun things to remember. And I'm glad, in retrospect, looking back on it, I'm glad it is part of Transformers. Whether or not I actually own any of them, I don't care. That's me. But I wonder, it's one of those eras of Transformers that you don't see a lot of people talking about, honestly, though, online. I don't see a lot of people talking about animated. I don't see a lot of people talking about Prime anymore. I don't see a lot of people talking about R.I.D., for that matter, the original R.I.D.
Out of sight, out of mind, man. I have everything animated. I got all the Bumper Battlers. I got the Activators. I got the Legends. All the regular mainline figures. I got the third-party ones. I don't have the Mario Luigi ones yet.
These are actually my girlfriend's right here. So
I got a couple of the ones that maybe there were a few samples of them laying around in a closet, and maybe they ended up in my basement.
I still want that Vortex Blur. I've been thinking about customizing one by myself.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
That might be my favorite mold from the line.
Might have a Thundercracker sitting around somewhere.
It's pretty cool.
Maybe.
Thundercracker never came out in Japan either, right?
We all thought he would. It made so much sense. And then
nothing. There was the Activators, and then
Activators Dirge came out.
Activators Dirge came out in America, right? Yeah, but not. And then Activators
he came out in Japan.
Soundwave? Oh, no, Sound Blast.
The white one.
The white one never came out.
No.
Yeah, I have a few of those. There's like a bag of them.
Whose idea was to give Soundwave a laser beak keytar?
So that sounds like an Eric Siebenhaler thing. He plays the bass.
That's so badass.
Oh, no. Rap-Bat was the keytar.
Rap-Bat's the keytar.
Was it retar?
Laserbeak is a flying V guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. What would have Ravage been,
Drum set.
Drum set?
Drum set.
Recorder?
Maybe. No, Ravage could have been the keyboard, and then Rumble and Frenzy could have been the drum set.
That would have made sense.
They could symmetrical dock like Jetfire, Jetstorm.
Yeah, and they could still have the pounding.
The pile drivers.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But every time they'd pound the ground, it sounded like drums. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, there'd be a beat to it. there'd be a beat to it. Absolutely. Right, so
the Activator Soundwave, the black one, Sound Blaster, only came out in Japan.
Right.
And the white one didn't come out anywhere.
Right. And then there was Activators that I think came out in Japan that didn't come out here, right? Like repaints, like Thundercracker. Either came out here. I think Thundercracker maybe. I don't know. I have one in like a pink. Oh, Skywarp. Was that it? Activator Skywarp came out in like pink packaging.
Ramjet and Skywarp and Sound Blaster were Japanese exclusives.
Okay. All right. There you go. So Thundercracker Activator came out over here.
Yes. He was in Wave 3 with Patrol Bumblebee.
Yeah. We never got a Wasp. I would have loved an animated Hound. I would have loved a Hound.
Wouldn't he have been really close to Bulkhead, though? In a way.
No, he would have been a Jeep. Hound would have been a Jeep. Animated Prowl.
That wasn't a motorcycle.
Oh, that wasn't. Oh, yeah, I guess. God damn.
You'd have to call him something else.
Yeah, that prowl
street,
is so
call
unique.
Him Street Car or something, you know.
No, it'd be Street Star, man. Yeah. That prowl is so unique to that show.
That's what I'm thinking. He could come back as a classics thing, or like you were saying, the redesign, new characters as G1 kind of type figures.
Yeah, and he's got that Sam
animated prowl. Yeah.
You know, the sidecar turns into his, you know, booster armor.
So badass.
Kind of makes you want to go back and play with some of those toys now, doesn't it?
And I've got some of them sitting next to me just that I brought up for this show. And yeah, I've got to go back into the box now.
Man, I think I have like 7 or 8 of those auto troopers I've yet to open. I love troop building.
I never got one.
Yeah, they're neat. Their color scheme is really great.
And you know, if you flip the head around, it's a different face. Did you ever see that? Flip the head around on it. It's another face that we never used. Who is that?
Like that?
Oh no, it's not Baymax. Shit, maybe it didn't. Maybe it wasn't.
Kind of looks like E.T.
Some screw holes.
Or yeah. Johnny Five, maybe.
Shit, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was an Auto Trooper. Sorry, there was somebody that if you turn the head around, there's another face on the back of it, and it never got used.
Not Punch and Counterpunch?
No.
You know that's a character
You mean Small Head?
Yeah, Small Head.
Small Head.
That's a character I'm surprised that has not seen a mainline release. Especially with all this, you know, revisiting of G1 characters and everything.
I'm saying
we talked about a Shattered Glass version of Counterpunch for Bakkon called Kick Counter Kick.
I like it.
What would his colors been?
Who the fuck cares? It's just the name.
We do have that Power of the Primes listing on Amazon for Counterpunch.
Hmm.
Yeah,
don't know what that is yet. And Repugnus and Shuttle Blast Off.
I've been hearing through a lot of people that
we've seen the packaging for Blast Off.
Yep, and we've seen stock art of Nemesis Prime.
Oh, breaking! Oh, I guess it's not breaking news since this is a pre-record. But Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron, boom!
What?
Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron. Balls.
Sergio was just texting me.
Oh my god. Look at her butt. And there's a new Masterpiece Megatron coming. Masterpiece Megatron looks really good too.
Masterpiece.
Like G1 Megatron?
It looks like G1 Megatron.
Oh man. This Beast Wars one I'm looking at is incredible, Duran.
Where are we seeing this at?
It's the internet.
Hang on, buddy. I'm gonna send it to you.
And right. There's a Shockwave.
Pull it up, and I'll see it on.
And there's a Shockwave reissue coming where he's got two hands instead of a hand and a blaster. And the Megatron, it's like the G1 toy Megatron. With the head and the side cannon and everything. God damn.
Okay.
I only have the Beast Wars Megatron. Now you got,
so. Okay. All right. I'm gonna screen share this. Let's see here. This is on TFW, and here is the Beast Wars MP43 Beast Wars Megatron Gray prototype revealed. I will buy this. Yep. I don't collect Beast Wars, but this is one toy I will buy.
I just sent you the other ones in Messenger, Duran.
Oh,
it's Toy Shockwave and Toy Megatron. I see.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so now Shockwave has fully articulated hands. And you can replace the cannon with another hand. And it looks like the Megatron comes with the stock and barrel.
Oh, these are repaint. Oh, repaints of them. Oh, yeah. Well, the toy colors of Shockwave, people have been begging for that for a long time.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's a repaint of the Megatron.
Yeah, yeah, it's the side cannon.
And it looks like he's got a new head, too.
And a new head, toy head.
Yeah, okay, that's what the side cannon was throwing me off. Okay, so the side cannon threw me off, and the head is definitely new. He's got the G1 stickers on him.
Yep.
And then there's the white Sunstreaker.
No pics of that I can see, at least.
I just sent those to Duran.
All right, I'm slowly.
They're in the messenger.
I'm slowly pulling them up here. I don't know why Facebook is being like stupid on me right now.
Yeah, the police streaker is called Cordon.
I am not excited about that at all. I guess what? Because
he looks awesome. He can hang out with Clampdown.
I guess it's mainly because I don't collect the.
He can sit with Diaclone Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, I don't
and
have
Clampdown and Red Bumblebee
and Road Rage.
And Road Rage.
And the deep cover that I know is coming soon.
Yeah, eventually.
Deep cover.
Eventually. You know they'll get to him eventually.
And I hope so.
You know they'll get to Tigatron eventually. They'll do a new head for the tiger and for the robot.
So with Beast Megatron, can I please get Masterpiece T-Rex?
He'd have to have the thick little wings on his head, though.
You know what's what's awesome is they took the on the MP36 that's MP36 plus, and they took the barrel and swiveled it around on his hip, like the G1 toy. That is awesome.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, because it just basically on a swivel joint.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I haven't opened my actual 36 yet because I'm about to move. So,
you know, there's going to be a Beast Wars Megatron repaint where he's got the toy accurate head with the little wings off the side.
Battle mask.
Yeah. Man, if that
thing looks good.
If that thing shoots water, that'd be the tits right there.
That'd be insane.
Gotta have
dump
that water.
Dump your $200 toy in water.
So looks like the Diaclone Sunstreaker. What is it? Cordon.
Cordon.
Is that that's
Gordon? Yeah, Gordon. His name's Gordon.
Gordon.
Gordon. Yeah.
Gordon. Yeah.
Has a totally new head.
Looks like
very toy accurate head.
Yeah, and the lights on the chest. He's got his titty lights.
Yeah, his very red nipples.
Those look like new lights. I know Clampdown used the MP Prowl lights, so these might be new lights.
Hmm.
Titty lights.
Titty lights.
And you know what? In a year and a half from now, when this show airs, and we're all opening up our MP Dinobots for the first time, if that thing ever comes out, we'll be like, oh, remember? Now we know when this was recorded, because they're talking about, MP Megatron coming out.
Yep, and it came out just today, like right at this moment. So you know exactly when this was recorded.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
I guess I'm buying Primal again.
When is that Dinobot supposed to come out?
June, isn't it?
July, June.
Well, this episode will likely air. let's see here. Probably end of May, 1st of June. I'm guessing.
It's on this Saturday.
It'll be on a Saturday, yes. Now, I'm not going to say this because this episode will actually air after the episode I was going to highlight. So never mind.
All right. So let me throw
July
this at
21st
you guys.
Is Dinobot.
Who's going to? I think we all knew that Megatron was going to be likely the next Beast Wars character. Forgetting repaints and remolds, because Tigatron is going to come eventually. Who is going to be the next Beast Wars masterpiece if they get to it?
Rhinox.
See, I think those are both good choices.
What's yours?
I think I'd have to go with Waspinator.
I also need Masterpiece Buzzsaw. We've talked about my love of Buzzsaw before.
Or, Tarantulas would be great too. But
Tarantulas would be great.
I mean, you really couldn't get a Black Arachnia from him at all.
I wish they'd hurry up and finish the damn Autobot cars.
All right, we talked about this. Yes, them too.
It's typical freaking Takara. They go almost. It's like they go almost all the way and then just don't finish.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah. They're bad for that.
They're living in the past. All right. So after Beast Wars, what's going to be the next line that gets Masterpiece?
I think R.I.D. or Armada. Yeah.
I'm saying Armada Prime and Armada Megatron.
Well, I think we'll either get a Super Fire Convoy or it'll be the Armada Prime.
I don't think we'll get Super Fire Convoy, but I think next show
he got an encore.
Armada Megatron or Armada Optimus.
Now,
didn't Armada Armada Optimus come in second place behind Star Saber when they did that contest?
Yes.
I thought Power Master Prime.
I think he came in third.
Oh, maybe third.
Yeah. The the Genrai.
Those people are getting to that age, you know, early 20s.
Yep, it's getting close. We have Sergio, like he grew up on Armada. I grew up on Beast Wars. He's that much younger than I am. That he had Armada first.
Yeah. So,
plenty of fans his age.
Only a matter of time before we get Armada Optimus and Megatron, and I'm looking forward to them. Looking forward to them.
They're pretty sweet. I guess we'll get Hotshot too because he's such a big deal.
Which version of Hotshot?
Armada Hotshot.
Well, and easy repaint will be Power Link's Hotshot.
Yeah, but who cares?
I want them to do Power Link's ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is Hot Rod color, so.
Oh, yeah.
It is a Hot Rod color.
But then I'd want that unreleased Universe smokescreen.
Yeah. I do want that, man. I should have bought that on eBay. I got a couple of those Universe figures floating around.
Dron, can you cut this part and make it a different show?
No.
We finished animated and we can do another show.
I was actually getting ready to say, I think we need to wrap this one up. We've actually went kind of long. We're at about an hour and 45 now. So
We did have breaking news, at least for us.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Well, I may throw this one up next weekend. You know, which be the episode of the 19th, because, well, like I said, I'm celebrating my birthday that weekend, so.
That's when I'm moving.
Yes.
No, week after that, sorry.
Hey, Duran.
Yes.
Oh, did you talk about the fire thing on the show or after the show or before the
show?
That
was before the show. Before the show.
Yeah, it's just on CNN. I just checked CNN to see if there was any other Transformer news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, Ford suspends F-150 production due to fire.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of editorial note for a lot of viewers. My workplace, I drive a semi, and as many of you know, I'm a truck driver. I deliver to Ford, and as many people may know from watching the news, like Rick saw there, Ford, a Ford plant or a Ford supplier in Michigan had a terrible accident here the last few days, and it has impacted thousands of workers. Several Ford plants have actually ceased production because of this. And the plant that I deliver to here in Kentucky is affected, but has not shut down completely. I am on an extremely limited work schedule as of this recording. However, whenever they do resume production, I am going to be working Mondo overtime. Several episodes will be pre-recorded, and this is one of them that will likely be used either on the 19th or sometime after that. We do have a episode scheduled. I've been in talks with Mr. Donnie Mason, who will be representing TF Expo coming up this summer, late this summer, early fall, out in Kansas City. He'll be on to talk about this great convention coming up very soon, if not already by the time this is aired. But right now, as we're talking, I'm in talks with him. And we should have a live episode in 3 weeks from now, that should be his episode. And if we can't do it live, I'm going to try to do a pre-record someday. If it has to be an early afternoon recording and just me and myself and him, so be it. But yeah, I'm actually impacted personally by the incident that happened in Michigan. It's right now I'm kind of in a holding pattern at work. I worked yesterday. I'm off today, which I normally am working right now. I would normally be working tomorrow. And as of right now, I have no work scheduled for tomorrow. So it's going to suck for me on my paycheck. But maybe some unemployment will be an answer for a short term. I don't know. We're hoping. But, you know, if a lot of people are saying, well, why are we not doing live shows? That's why. Because I am working my butt off and earning a paycheck. Because I have to have a 9-to-5 job. Or, well, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's like 5 in the evening till 5 in the morning. But, yeah.
It's not because we don't love you.
Yes. We do love you.
I don't love you.
And if
Rich doesn't love you, the rest of us do.
If you do love us here on TFYLP, there is a thing that you can do, and it's right up there at the top of the screen, right up there, patreon.com/TFYLP. You can go on there and help support us each month. Without your donations and your support, liking, sharing, subscribing, your Patreon, we couldn't be here. It is because of you, the listeners and the viewers, that we exist. We hope that we entertain you and inform you each and every week. That's our goal, because we love Transformers, and we know you love Transformers, or else you wouldn't be watching this right now. And we want to put forth the best possible show that we can, both video, audio, and everything. I know, you know, in recent past that we've had some issues. And hopefully you can see that we've been working on that diligently, and I continue to work on that. As of this recording, my computer, the new build computer, is a little over halfway paid off. A lot of the major components have already been purchased. The monitor has already been purchased. It's a 34-inch ultra-wide. I'm literally going to be sitting in front of a video wall, essentially, because my computer desk, is, 38 inches wide, and the monitor itself, including the bevel, is 36 inches wide. So yeah, the monitor will be almost as wide as my computer desk and as tall as my CD tower that's on the back of my computer desk. So yeah, it's pretty massive, but I like.
And remember, anyone who signs up for Patreon soon, I don't know for how long, until supplies last, will get one of my fabulous X-Transbox Crank and Stax coins. I got 23 of them. Please sign up. I'll send them to you.
And if you do our highest tier, you will get an autographed copy of Rick. You got one handy?
No.
But you'll get an autographed copy of Rick's latest book.
Or any book that I've written that you want. I don't care. I'll send it to your... I'll drive it to your house if you live within...
30 minutes. if you live within 30 minutes of Rick Alvarez.
I'll come to your house for a meal. I don't care.
Yes, cook him food. He likes food. And bring him beer. Preferably draft beer
IPAs.
No IPAs? You don't like those?
No IPAs. No, I don't like the IPA.
But yes, check us out on our Patreon. Also follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. That is always the easiest way to get a hold of me directly. If you want to ask me questions or send me feedback, you can always send it to me at TFYLP. Love hearing from our fans. Got a lot of great fans that interact with us on there. And if you go to Ripped Apparel at rippedapparel.com and you do any shopping at that online store, as long as they don't have a superseding deal, in other words, a better deal, you can use the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, and you will save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. So that's pretty awesome. And also, as always, check out CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. CapturedPrey.com.
And now introducing Stasis Pod.
Don't know yet. Hasn't been officially announced, so you probably said something that shouldn't have been said.
He told me yesterday it's up.
Is it?
That's what he told me.
That's news to me. Of course, he doesn't tell me a lot of things. I asked him earlier, I'm like, so dude, are you getting Zeta Swindle in? Which I can't remember what his name is. He doesn't even have pre-orders up for it yet. Yet some stores are already getting them in. I'm like, what the hell? I want my Swindle. I haven't even got Brawl yet.
When Swindle arrives, you can add him to your Stasis Pod, which is Capture Prey's answer to order stacking and pile of loot, roller stash. You can keep your orders at Capture Prey Warehouse until you're ready to ship and save on shipping that way.
Yes.
Stasis Pod by Capture Prey.
Yes. Which I think he should have went with Captured or Captive Prey. That would have probably been better.
Captive Prey would have been okay. But someone really special to me came up with Stasis Pod.
You?
It was me.
Wasn't it me? Didn't I come up with Stasis Pod?
No.
You also said Stasis Pod, so we can share credit if you want.
No.
Whatever.
I made it. I'm the birth of all good ideas. You shall all shut up. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Pronounced Tiflip.
Tiflip.
When the battle is through, only the strong will survive.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.